Hello, Houston, and welcome in to Catholic Lunch Break. This is the weekly program where we catch up with all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. My name is Wyatt Goolsby. I'm the executive director of this radio station, KSHJ AM 1430. And it is Monday of the 15th week in Ordinary Time, July 14th in the year of our Lord, 2025. Today on the show, the power of Catholic media. We have a popular lay evangelist, Gabe Castillo, who will talk to us all about the Rosary, the saints, and about what he'll be talking about at an upcoming Fullness of Truth conference in San Antonio. Teachers, faculty, and staff at Catholic schools are preparing for the new school year, even during the summer. We'll welcome in Mrs. Erica Paras, principal at St. Augustine Catholic School, to tell us about their new smart lab. And finally, imagine growing up going to church in Peru and getting confirmed by your local bishop, Robert Prevost, only to find out 10 years later that same man has been elected pope. We'll talk to a young man originally from Peru, now living here in Houston, to talk all about the reaction from back home. Before all those interviews, though, we do want to begin this program as we normally do with a prayer. First, we'll pray for our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, and then we'll pray the Memorare. So if you join me now, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, source of eternal life and truth, give to your shepherd, Pope Leo, a spirit of courage and right judgment, a spirit of knowledge and love. By governing with fidelity those entrusted to his care, may he, as successor to the Apostle Peter and Vicar of Christ, build your church into a sacrament of unity, love, and peace for all the world. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My colleague Zach Allen and I want to thank a couple of parishes for allowing us to visit this past weekend and to promote our media ministry. Many thanks to St. Clair of Assisi in the Clear Lake area. Shout out to Father Vincent there. Also our thanks to Our Lady of Lourdes in Hitchcock, Texas. That's where my colleague Zach Allen was this past weekend. We are less than 2 weeks out from our big summer speaker series. Dr. Ray Guarindi is coming to the Lone Star Flight Museum on Saturday, July 26. Dr. Ray is the host of The Doctor Is In, which is a program right here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. The theme for the talk, be bold, be joyful, be courageously Catholic. We hope that you'll be able to join us in person on Saturday evening, July 26. The website to learn more information and to buy tickets is grnonline.com/SSS. That's grnonline.com/SSS. And many thanks, by the way, to Dr. Ray for joining Zach and I during a live broadcast earlier this morning to let people know about his coming to town. Dr. Ray and his wife adopted and raised 10 children in the church, so we'll have a lot to say about marriage and family from a Catholic perspective. Again, note that date, Saturday, July 26. Tickets are $45 apiece and includes adults from across the HDI. Of confession, mass, dinner, speech, and of course, lots of fellowship. If you or anyone you know who's a young adult who might want to check it out, note that confession is at 5:15, mass is at 6:15, dinner at 7:15, and finally the talk at 8:15. Tonight's talk, Hope for Your Future, A Catholic Guide to Adulting with Paul Kim. Again, Cafe Catholica is tonight for young adults at St. Vincent de Paul. Building a community of young adults in the faith is subject our next guest on the program is very familiar with. Gabriel Castillo is a Catholic lay evangelist and videographer who has served in various capacities at his church, St. Teresa's in Sugar Land. Gabe has produced lots of online videos related to the Catholic faith that has more, over the years, garnered more than what, 11 million views, I want to say. So join us is Gabriel Castillo, again, at St. Teresa's Catholic Church. Gabe, thanks for being here. Welcome back to KSHJ.
Wyatt, thanks for having me. I love all the beautiful renovations that you and your team have made.
Really appreciate that. We did a lot of renovation in August and September of 23, so we're glad to have you here, and we're also glad to add the video element as well for people who are watching on YouTube. So, Gabe, for people who are unfamiliar with you, your parish, as I said, is St. Teresa's in Sugar Land. You've held several different roles, but nowadays I want to say you work in youth ministry at the church.
Right. So I used to be the promoter of evangelization, which is basically adult faith formation. Mm-hmm. Now I do young adults and youth ministry, in particularly the high school ages, so 9th grade through 12th grade. And it's a very, very fruitful ministry. So to my surprise, because when I was first offered the job or voluntold that I was going to be doing youth ministry, at first I was like, but my heart has been filled by seeing the Lord work in so many young people's lives.
Amen. Amen. Well, you're going to be speaking at an upcoming conference. This is going to be in San Antonio, and I know it's going to draw a lot of people from the Houston area, coming up on August 15th through the 17th at the Hyatt Regency Hill Country Resort and Spa in San Antonio. The name of the conference is For Heaven's Sake, and it's all about sainthood.
Yes.
So I know that's going to be something that you're touching on as well. Gabe, for people who are thinking about saints, and we think about so many that are in heaven right now, it may seem to a lot of people that that's very distant from us, right, that the saints are up there in heaven, we're down here on earth. Even in our secular culture, you've heard the phrase, I'm no saint. It right. seems to almost distance ourselves from the fact that we're on the journey to sainthood. How do you respond to that and get people to relate to the saints?
So I think a lot of times we put the saints up on a pedestal and we don't think that we can relate to them as having struggles. And I think with a lot of the new canonizations that are happening with Pier Giorgio Frassati, with Carlo Acutis, mm-hmm. you see ordinary people in our time basically struggling with some of the exact same things that we struggled with. And so a saint is anybody who is in the grace of God trying to let Jesus Christ live in and through them. And there's four elements. If somebody was saying, I want to try and grow in holiness, what can I do? What can help to make me a saint? So there's four areas of your life that will be touched upon by each of the various speakers at the Fullness of Truth Conference. One, if you want to grow in holiness, focus on your sacramental life. Receiving Holy Communion as often as possible, as reverently as possible, going and making good confessions. This is our Lord's way of bringing His presence into our lives. Another thing that people can do, which I believe Matthew Leonard will be focusing on, is mental prayer. All the doctors of the church say that this specific type of prayer is the gateway to the spiritual life, where you use your imagination or your intellect to reflect upon the life of Jesus Christ, some aspect of His passion, of His public ministry, where you pray and encounter Him as a living person there. Mm-hmm. Another aspect, if you just pick one and focus on it just for a little while, your holiness will increase. The presence of God in your life will increase. And I will be speaking about spiritual warfare. And that title doesn't mean what most people think that it means. So most people hear the word spiritual warfare, and there has been an explosion of information from exorcists. I've got a couple of friends who are exorcists. Mm-hmm. Father Carlos Martins has the Exorcist Files podcast. Great program. But that's not the kind of spiritual warfare that impacts every single human. So everybody, from the moment we wake up, we hear voices in our hearts and in our heads that pull us either to love God or to shy away from Him and to be more sinful. And so my talk will focus on how do I discern the two voices that I hear, my own voice, obviously, but the voice of the good spirit, the voice of the bad spirit, because the voice of God brings peace, brings consolation, encourages us. Even when He corrects us, we are strengthened interiorly. But the voice of the bad spirit is often echoing in our own heads and we don't recognize it. Fear, doubt, unworthiness. And these voices enter in, and if we listen to them, it keeps us from being the man or woman that God has created us to be. And this all hinges upon that third aspect of growing in holiness, which is commitment to doing God's will. A lot of people can look at their life and say, I'm doing pretty good because I'm not in mortal sin. I'm going to Mass on Sunday. I'm praying regularly. And that is really good. Mm-hmm. But God has a will and a plan and a purpose for your life. And if and only if you follow that plan, can you have true peace of soul and you literally walk in the presence of God by discerning His will every day, doing His will, and just grace begins to pour out into your life and into the lives of your family and friends. And our Lord says, I have come to give you life and life to the full. That happens when you have this daily walk with Jesus to discern His will and to do His will. And then the fourth aspect that all of the saints had in their lives is a relationship with the Virgin Mary. If the goal of the spiritual life is to become like Christ, to become another Christ, to be a member of the body of Christ, that's what the essence of holiness is, union with Christ, then Mary, who formed the body of Christ, also forms me. And so engaging in that relationship with the Virgin Mary, praying the rosary, praying the memorare, looking at the life of Christ through the eyes of Mary, all of these aspects are qualities that all of the saints had. One of the beautiful things about our church is that all of the saints are so, so different. Many times people think, if I become holy, I'm going to be dull. I'm going to be boring. And one thing that you would not say about any of the saints is that they're dull or boring or lose their personality. That's the paradox of Christianity. When you die to yourself and allow Christ to live through you, you become fully alive. You become more yourself. You become more vibrant. And so you have saints like Padre Pio, who is totally different from Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. Carlo Acutis is not like Pier Giorgio at all. Totally different personalities, totally different qualities and charisms. And the church, by giving a saint, says there's somebody for everybody that you can relate to. And a good friend of mine who's an expert on relics and saints says, if you have an attraction to a particular saint, let's say you're really devoted to Saint Rita or you're really devoted to Maria Goretti, it's not that you have chosen that saint and that's the saint you like, but that that saint is calling out to you and looking for a special relationship with you and wants to tutor you, wants to nourish a friendship with you and help lead you closer to Christ. It's one big, beautiful, holy family.
I love that word friendship, because that's a great way that we can relate to the saints, is that they want that same friendship with us that we want with them in Christ, of being like a family. That's fantastic. And you're right. All those things, Gabe, are very doable if we can participate in the life of the church. We're blessed here in this country that we have access to Catholic churches. Amen. So we have many churches where you can go to adoration.
Yes.
We have many churches where you can have access to the sacraments. Like you said, going to Mass on a regular basis, going to confession, that first step. So like you said, opens the door to all these other things, being able to pray regularly, just starting on those basics, and you're heading down the path to sainthood.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So I love how you mentioned that in the context of spiritual warfare, so that it's very relatable to everybody. We participate in that, choosing the side of God when we do all of those steps as well. And it's a good reminder of the fact that, again, we are in a spiritual warfare, but with God on our side, we can win it.
The devil doesn't stand a chance against God.
No.
Not even a blink of an eye does God concern himself with the devil.
That's absolutely right. So again, you'll be speaking about that, and again, about spiritual warfare. This is called For Heaven's Sake, Staying on the Path with Saints of Sainthood, August 15th through the 17th. The other thing that's going on when you're there, Gabe, in San Antonio giving this conference, you're also debuting a new book. That's all about the rosary.
The power of the rosary, that's right.
And you brought a copy of the book here for the video version. We have a look at the cover as well. You've written books before.
This is the first book.
Really?
And it probably will be one of the only for many, many, many years.
I was going to say you've done so many videos, I figured by now you've probably written books. So you've really sat down and then worked on this.
I've been praying about this book for at least 20 years.
Really? Yeah. Okay. So of all things to choose, why the rosary?
So my conversion kind of happened around the rosary. I was struggling with vices towards lust and many other things when I had a conversion, and the rosary was truly a strength for me. And as I began to look for resources, I wanted to know more about what was this that was giving me so many consolations. The only resource I had that I could find that didn't water it down, that was really strong and full of the fire of the saints, was St. Louis de Montfort's book, The Secret of the Rosary. But that book was 300 years old, and it still left me with a lot of questions. How does the rosary play a role in the life of a modern man with devices in his pockets that lead to vices, literally. Mm-hmm. Louis de Montfort couldn't have conceived of the kind of temptations that we would be experiencing today. Mm-hmm. On top of that, we had the influence of Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Lourdes, Pope John Paul II, the Luminous Mysteries. Where does all of that fit in my spiritual life? So it left a lot of questions. And so what I did was I took the spirit and the fervor of St. Louis de Montfort and then took some of the great developments we've had, such as the developments in mental prayer from the Carmelite spirituality, the discernment of spirits from the Ignatian spirituality, put all of that together with the themes from St. Louis de Montfort's book, and then made it applicable to modern man.
Very good. Excellent. So that seems like that can be a lot, kind of overwhelming at first. How long did it take you to write a book and to kind of piece everything together?
It existed in my heart. Like I've said, I've mm-hmm. always believed and thought these things. And it took me about 6 months of like nonstop writing morning to night. Mm-hmm. It's not that long. It's about 220 pages. And one of the critiques that I have heard from people about St. Louis de Montfort's book is that some of the miracles in his book seem kind of crazy and like they just unrelatable for okay. modern sentiments. So what I did in the last chapter is that I have found that anybody who takes up the rosary on a daily basis, kind of like the foundation for their spiritual life, everybody who does that has a story. I could go to anybody who prays the rosary on a regular basis and ask them, tell me a story from the rosary and what difference it's made in your life. And they'll just start spewing out all this great content. Mm-hmm. So I went to people that I personally knew who had a strong devotion to the rosary, and I said, how did you get that rosary devotion? Can you please write me a 200 to 400 word testimonial? So the last chapter is 39 testimonies of people that I personally know who have had a devotion to the rosary and the difference it's made in their lives. And I think that a lot of people will relate very deeply with all these different people from various backgrounds and their experience with the rosary.
Very good. I should mention the fact that you have your rosary here.
Yes.
This is did your daughter make this?
My daughter, Luisa, made this rosary, and she put various saints at all the decades. People will ask me, where'd you get that rosary? And they think I get it from like a company that sells like tough paracord rosaries, like rugged rosaries that's here in Houston. But my daughter made this one, and she put specific saints that I have a great love for throughout the decades.
Go ahead and hold that up here the camera, by the way.
Sure.
For the video version here,
yes.
We're showing it.
You're lucky.
It's the beads
viewers.
Are very big here,
very
I was going to say.
Very big beads, big crucifix.
Yeah.
Another thing that we have with us is a relic of St. Dominic.
Okay.
So when the book is released on August 15th, I didn't tell anybody this. I told people that the first 1,000 pre-orders that I was going to go up to Sophia Institute Press and sign the books. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell them that I had asked a friend who's in charge of relics for his religious community if I could borrow a relic of St. Dominic so that I could touch those pre-orders to their book. And that religious generously said, hey, we've had St. Dominic locked up in our vault since we received him. He has not seen the light of day. If you promise to take him with you on your conferences that you mention or book signings that you're going to do, mm-hmm. we will give him to you. And here's a certificate of authenticity, etc. And people who have bought their books somewhere else and bring it, we can touch them to the bone of St. Dominic. Anybody who buys their book there can touch them to the bone of St. Dominic. You can pray with St. Dominic there at that conference in, where is it, San Antonio? Or
San Antonio.
San Antonio,
yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's incredible that you're going to be able to do that with all of your books and everything. Also, obviously, you had mentioned before, you know, your own devotion to our Heavenly Mother Mary.
Yes.
I want to mention you brought a little statue of Our Lady of Fatima there.
Our Lady of Fatima.
It was beautiful.
Thank you, yes.
Appreciate that. That's incredible that you have a relic of St. Dominic to be able to bring around.
It's kind of unimaginable. When this friar said that I could have him.
Right. Not just borrow him for one
weekend.
Have
him. I told him no. I said no, absolutely. That was my response. He says, I would rather you use him and let him go and visit the people of God, especially those who are trying to grow closer to Mary through the rosary that he received from Our Lady, than him just be here locked in the vault. So I really do view it as kind of not a burden, but like I have a duty. I can't just keep him at home or in my office. I've got to take him as many places as I can within reason.
Very good. Yeah. Excellent. Well, that's great for people who end up buying the book there at San Antonio Fullness of Truth Conference because they'll know it's touched to the relic.
And any other book tours that I do or book signings I do here in Houston. So I'll be at mm-hmm. the Little Flower Catholic Bookstore in Katy. I'm going to be going to Saco. I don't know what days, but St. Dominic will be there as well.
Okay, very good. Well, you keep us up to speed, Gabe, in terms of those dates, and we can put out information on our social media for people who want to learn more about the book and your signing it and things like that. So, again, we'll tell people to take note of that conference in San Antonio, August 15th through the 17th. Again, give me the title of the book and when it officially releases again.
The book is called The Power of the Rosary. That's an allusion to St. Louis de Montfort's book, The Secret of the Rosary. Mm-hmm. And it releases on the Feast of the Assumption, August 15th, which was very spiritually a significant day. We don't think about it that often, but that was when Mary was done with her mission. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus went up into heaven. She maintained her presence here with the church on earth. And then at the Assumption, our Lord is like, my good and faithful mother, you've done it. And so they say in the writings of the mystics that many souls were freed from purgatory that day, and many graces are granted to the church on that day. So when I wrote the book, the first time I wrote the title of the book was August 15th last year, and then I just didn't do anything with it for several months. But yes. It's just very spiritually significant to do things on feast days, and then it'll be released on August 15th this year.
Very good. A good reminder also that coming up in a month from now, August 15th, is also a holy day of obligation.
Yes.
So a good reminder to make sure you make plans to go to church on that Friday, August 15th. Very good. Well, we really appreciate your being here, and I know you got a lot going on, including this new book, so we really appreciate your time. Again, Gabriel Castillo, Catholic lay evangelist and videographer, also at St. Teresa's Catholic Church in Sugarland. We really appreciate your being here.
Thanks, Wyatt. It's been a blessing. Hopefully I'll see you again soon.
Very good. Coming up after the break, we'll talk about the value of a Catholic education with the principal of St. Augustine Catholic School, Erica Paras. Stay with us. You're listening to Catholic Lunch Break on AM 1430.
This is Father Jeff Boehm, pastor and rector of the Co-Cathedral of the Sacred Heart in Houston. You're listening to the Catholic Lunch Break on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Do you love KSHJ AM 1430? Hey, Zach Allen, GM of Houston here. Do you want to help this station reach more and more souls for Christ? There are some easy ways to partner and make a big difference. Do you have Facebook? Follow us, GRN Houston. That's our local station. Share the events that we post and encourage others to support your only local Catholic radio station. May God bless you and thank you for listening. That's GRN Houston on Facebook.
Who's looking for a basketball camp this summer? Hi, this is former coach David Magianis, and I want to invite you to the St. Pius X High School co-ed basketball camp for ages K through 4th grade. This 4-day camp starts on Monday, July 21st, and it goes from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and lunch is included. This camp is led by the head girls basketball coach, Walter Gordy. To learn more and to register, go to the school website, stpiusx.org/athletics/summer camp. God bless.
Southeast Houston Cardiology is a proud sponsor of the Guadalupe Radio Network and enjoys great programming such as The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarindi. Southeast Houston Cardiology has been serving patients with heart disease and vascular disease with up-to-date care. Southeast Houston Cardiology has two locations, Webster and Pasadena. You can contact them online at southeasthoustoncardiology.com or 281-338-4004.
There was a radio station dedicated to all things Catholic. No clue. I literally reached for my dial, switched it on, so I thought, wow, this is so cool. I think probably a couple months later, I emailed the station. I was like, can I get a bumper sticker? And so now I keep one in my truck at all times.
The Guadalupe Radio Network. Radio for your soul.
Welcome back to Catholic Lunch Break. This is the weekly program where we catch up with all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. This is Wyatt Goolsbee, executive director of this radio station. Across our area, we're working hard during the summertime. Joining us on the Guadalupe Radio Network to talk all about St. Augustine Catholic Church in Houston is the principal, Mrs. Erica Paras. She has been serving as the school's principal now for about 4 years. Erica, welcome in. Thank you so much for being here in the KSHJ studio.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate this.
I imagine that you and the teachers and staff at St. Augustine are very busy getting ready for the new school year. Even though it's the summertime, I know there's a lot of hard work going on sort of behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. For people who are unfamiliar with St. Augustine Catholic School, tell me, where in the Houston area are you located, and about how many students do you have at school?
St. Augustine Catholic School is located on Southeast Houston. We're on the border of Houston and Pasadena.
Okay.
We're located in between 45 and 225.
So not terribly far from Hobby Airport, then?
It's on the other side of Hobby Airport,
okay.
Yes.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Excellent. And so about how many students, roughly, are...
We have 118 students.
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. So obviously St. Augustine is part of the parish... Also, mm-hmm. as well. So I know you receive a lot of support from Father Paul, the pastor,
yes,
there.
Yes, of course.
And you guys collaborate, because my understanding, of course, is that the school and parish are very close-knit. Is that fair to say?
It is very close-knit. We're a very big community. It's considered like a family. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of events together where we collaborate with the parish and the school.
Okay, very good. And I can imagine it draws people from all over, you know, the area. And I imagine it's pretty diverse, being the fact that so, you know, it's right there in the middle of kind of South Houston, Southeast Houston,
yeah,
as well.
It draws a lot of people in. We have people from the Houston side. We have people from the Pasadena side, mm-hmm. sometimes from Baytown. It just really depends on where they're driving in. We are nestled inside of Meadow Creek Village, so we are considered one of the hidden gems sitting on 11 acres. But it's a beautiful community. It's a beautiful campus. And it's wonderful to be able to have all that area and space and all the wonderful trees there and everything. So if you're ever on that side, you should come and visit us.
Very good. Well, one of the unique things about the school also is that you guys, in addition to promoting, of course, a Catholic education in mm-hmm. general, which is so important, you guys highlight something called STREAM, like a STREAM Synergy Campus. Explain to me what that means, Erica, because I've heard of STEM, mm-hmm. which is like science, technology, engineering, mathematics, but I'm not familiar with STREAM. What do we mean by that acronym?
STREAM is just adding on religion and the art aspect into the science, technology, engineering, and math. Mm-hmm. So last year, we were able to partner with Smart Lab, and we were able to add on a STREAM lab to our facility for our students. So basically, we have activities that coordinate with all of those aspects and tying it in, whether it be religion, art, mathematics, engineering. We have a curriculum that works with that for the students. So it's mm-hmm. very hands-on, and it's very interactive for the teacher and the students as well.
Tell me a little bit more about how that works, because I was reading about that sort of opening, you guys opening up this new Smart Lab learning environment in the mm-hmm. fall of last year. So is it like a board interactive? What all does that encompass?
It's actually an entire classroom. So okay. we were able to purchase different manipulatives that students can be very hands-on, whether it's like Legos, linking blocks, mm-hmm. little tubes that you connect. We also have online curriculum that goes along with that. Mm-hmm. We also have 3D printers, so students are able to create different little objects and things like that using coding and math and engineering. So it's really one of the exciting things that we were able to add on last year.
I know that a lot of schools have really, in our area, really been pushing some of those things like science and technology mm-hmm. and engineering. Obviously, that's great that you guys add the religion and arts, because it's definitely needed. But tell me why all of those qualities are so important for a foundation for an education for a student.
I think just having a well-rounded student and being able to integrate religion, art, science, technology, all of that develops the whole child all in all. So being able to provide that for the students, not just in the STREAM lab, but all over campus, is amazing to see that students will be well-rounded and be able to utilize those skills in the future.
Mm-hmm. I want to say that while I was reading a little bit about yourself, you have a master's in education
from
the University of St. Thomas. So I wanted to ask you about how the value of Catholic education for you mm-hmm. personally. I'm guessing part of that is the reason why you came on board and joined St. Augustine Catholic School just to begin with.
Right. So I started as a student in Holy Rosary Catholic School in Rosenberg.
Okay.
And then I originally, after I graduated there, I wanted to go to Catholic high school, but at that time my parents could not afford that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went to the local public high school, but I was still active in Holy Rosary community. I did my confirmation there and things like that. And when I got into the education world, I started in a daycare setting, a child learning center. But I had a friend there who started to work at a Catholic school, and she said, this would be great for you. So mm-hmm. I applied, and my first school was at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, mm-hmm. On the other side of South Houston.
Right.
So serving in the Archdiocese for the past 10 years, I've only served in the inner city Catholic schools, which is now called the Cross Academies. So I have made it my mission to serve in those schools in the community.
Why do you think it's so important to get those students, in particular, in those parts of the Houston area, a good, solid education?
I just think knowing what I know and knowing where I came from and how I grew up, it's very important to be able to serve students that may not have that or may not have that opportunity. So at St. Augustine, I do ask for my teachers to give back to the community in serving them. So whether that be in an after-school activity, coaching a sport, all of that gives back to our mission of creating disciples and just showing the students that it's just not a job for our teachers. It's a passion. It's their mission to give back, not just to the students of St. Augustine, but to all students.
Yeah. Also, like I said, I mentioned the fact that you got your master's in education from the University of St. Thomas. Remind me of the timeline here, Erica. When did you get that, and how has that sort of added to your ability to do your job well as the principal?
I received my master's at St. Thomas in May of 2020.
Okay.
So I think just going back and thinking about that is just be creating a lifelong learning journey for me. So just being able to pull from my master's in education and understanding that educational side, but also having that Catholic aspect into it and having that community really helps and supports me in what I do on a day-to-day basis.
Very good. Tell me about, again, let's go back to the faith aspect here, because you had highlighted religion as one of those aspects of STREAM, being mm-hmm. a STREAM Synergy campus for St. Augustine. The foundation of faith, of course, is so important for a Catholic education. Tell me about the goal, about what, from a faith aspect, from a religion aspect, you want the students who graduate to know or to think about.
I think I just want the students to graduate knowing that Christ is their center and to have that faith in themselves, and just to know that when they do feel troubled or it's hard, that they can always turn back to their faith and know that somebody is there believing in them and that they have some type of guidance. So just keeping it rooted in Christ and just keeping that faith in them, I believe that they'll be able to get through anything that they need to get through.
Very good. I had mentioned that you've been serving the principal now for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You've been officially doing that for 3 years, but I know you kind of served me in his interim capacity for about a year. I want to give you an opportunity to just give credit to whether it's Father Paul or some of the other teachers and on staff for kind of helping you make that transition, because
right.
I can imagine going from sort of a staff or teacher position then to the principal can kind of seem overwhelming at first, right?
It was definitely overwhelming that first year that I was interim principal. We were going through accreditation. So when I became interim principal in October, then we went through accreditation in February. So I do appreciate and I do give a lot of credit to Father Paul, the staff, and all my teachers to kind of help me and guide me through all of that and just really support me and, you know, help me to become the principal that I am today.
Very good. I also want to give credit to everybody who works there, again, teacher, staff, parents, everybody who's involved, who also makes the commute there. Because like I said, not everybody lives close there. You yourself, you had mentioned the fact that you grew up, what, Rosenberg?
Yes.
Richmond area.
Yes.
And I guess you were telling me you still live there in that area?
I still live in Richmond.
Okay.
Yes. So my commute to St. Augustine is about 47 miles each way.
Okay.
So I do spend a lot of time commuting, but everybody asks me why, like why, and I always tell them, why not? Like, why not make the commute? you know. Mm-hmm. I feel everybody commutes in, for their job, for their work, and mm-hmm. if you love what you do, it's not a question as to why. It's just, you just do it.
Any favorite stories of talking with students on campus? I mean, I'm sure you talk with a lot of kids at different grade levels. Are there certain things that kids say to you that may be rewarding or stand out or just kind of make you feel happy in your heart, I would say?
There are a lot of stories. I have a lot of students that I have seen. I have been their teacher in pre-K. I've been their teacher in kindergarten. And I just graduated one from eighth grade last year, and they were at St. Augustine. So just not necessarily things that they say, but just being able to watch them grow up and, you know, be a part of that journey. And even students that were there on my first year at St. Augustine, they just graduated high school, and I was able to attend their high school graduation this past May. So it's just beautiful to be able to be a part of that. And it makes the 47 miles, the hour commute, way worth it.
Yeah, very good. Again, if you just now joined us, we're talking with Mrs. Erica Paras. She is the principal at St. Augustine Catholic School, which is located in South Houston, Southeast Houston. And Erica, going back then, you had made reference to your own faith, mm-hmm. growing up Catholic and going to Catholic school. I did want to ask you, as I normally ask a number of people who come on this program, if you yourself have any favorite devotions or favorite mm-hmm. prayers, you know, saints that you like, anything like that.
I don't really have favorites, but I do have a little bit of different routines. So I do mm-hmm. like to sit in kind of silence, meditation, and just kind of let the Holy Spirit come to you moments. I like to do that in the morning, and then end the day is always with my daughter at bedtime, and we do her daily prayers. So when she was little, she learned the angel prayer, and then she learned the Our Father. So every time she learned a prayer, we added that prayer to her nightly routine. And she just did her first communion a year ago, so she learned the act of contrition. So that's a daily prayer as well. So normally any prayer that she learns, we add that on to our nightly routine. But starting my day in silence and meditation always works. I love to listen to praise and worship music. Mm-hmm. You know, my mother and my mother-in-law were very big on the Divine Mercy Chaplet, so we would do that a lot as well. So
very good. I love that idea of bookending the day, you know, prayer or silent mm-hmm. meditation, then being able to pray with your daughter in the evening. That's fantastic. Tell me then, just wrapping up here, if people want to learn more about the school, St. Augustine Catholic School, tell me the website. What do they need to do, Erica?
They can just log on to St. Augustine. StAugustineCS.org.
There you go.
Sorry.
You got it. No, that's okay. I knew you'd StAugustineCS.org.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I was checking out the website earlier, and that's when I was learning all about, again, I mentioned the state-of-the-art classroom, that smart lab learning environment that you guys debuted. It is fantastic, some of the initiatives that you guys are doing, and I know that you and a number of people there have spearheaded that effort.
Yeah.
So
we were just in the Catholic Herald.
Very good, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
So remind me then, when does the school year officially start? When's the first day of classes?
August 13th.
Okay, very good. So you guys are gearing up. So, again, before I wrap up here, what's everybody in the staff doing? Just kind of running around, trying to get classrooms ready right now?
Not yet. A lot of them are doing professional development.
Okay.
Professional development. We're ordering school supplies. We're ordering books. Father Paul and I have a big mission every summer. We like to do one thing to improve the campus every summer. So that's always our big summer initiative. So this year, Father Paul is repainting our lockers and repainting our doors right now and refinishing a lot of floors that we have. So that's his big project this summer.
I love that, taking it one step at a time. Mm-hmm. Every year, seeing improvement there. Very good. Again, we appreciate your time. Erica Paras, principal at St. Augustine Catholic School. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Coming up after the break, we'll talk to a young man who was confirmed by Pope Leo XIV back when he was a bishop in Peru. We'll also highlight the work of Catholic International University. You're listening to Catholic Lunch Break here on AM 1430.
This is Father Preston Kinsella, pastor of Our Lady of Perpetual Help in Sweeney and St. John the Apostle in West Columbia. You're listening to Catholic Lunch Break on AM 1430. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Be bold, be joyful, be courageously Catholic. Very soon, on July 26th, Dr. Ray Guarindi will be here in Houston at the Lone Star Flight Museum for an event to support KSHJ AM 1430. Your presence will make this event so much better. Get your tickets now at grnonline.com/SSS. You will leave the event feeling bold, joyful, and ready to live courageously Catholic. That's grnonline.com/SSS. I'll see you there.
Deacon Glenn Trahan here, owner of the TRW family of companies and proud sponsor of the Guadalupe Radio Network. For 60 years, TRW has helped our clients to optimize the use of their facilities with operable wall products, creating effective, flexible, and acoustically controlled workspaces, making them more productive and successful. And TRW is committed to supporting ministries that also make our community and our world a better place, just like this Guadalupe Radio Network station.
You can mark your calendars for August 15th through the 17th. Visit fullnessoftruth.org and look for the August San Antonio conference called For Heaven's Sake. That's fullnessoftruth.org.
The Catholic Lunch Break is underwritten in part by Loving Choice Catholic Pregnancy Help Center. Guided by the Holy Spirit and the teachings of the Catholic Church, Loving Choice extends God's love in the form of emotional, educational, material, and spiritual support to parents and families as they embrace the challenges and the blessings for an unplanned pregnancy. Loving Choice is a place any woman can go for help and information when she is facing an unexpected, emotional, and possibly scary situation. She can take advantage of a free pregnancy test, they perform free ultrasounds, and the volunteers at Loving Choice will listen and provide compassionate options without judgment or pressure. You could be one of those volunteers. Find out more at loving-choice.org. Always make the loving choice.
University. That name may sound familiar because Catholic International University used to be known as Catholic Distance University. Renato, thanks for being here. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's really a good experience to be here, you know, and share this story.
Yes.
That, you know, at the end of the day, it's really fun. And I don't know, it's a great anecdote. You know, it's my new fun fact I'm going to have.
It
know?
Is a fun fact that you were confirmed by Pope Leo XIV. And so I want to ask you all about the work that you're doing here in Houston at Catholic International University. But let's start with your background so people know a little bit about it. You're originally from Peru, born and raised, I guess, grew up going to Catholic Church?
Yeah. So from my dad's side, my mom's side, both sides Catholic. So I was born and raised Catholic. Went to Catholic school since I have memory, since I think I was 4 years old till I graduated high school. So my life, you know, I've been in that environment, let's say. And I think, you know, when I got confirmed, I didn't think about it. It's just like...
Right, it's a normal thing. Your local bishop confirms you. You're assuming you had gone to Catholic school, so you'd receive First Communion, did all that stuff.
Yeah, yes.
Now going to confirmation, right?
You know, let's say the classic set of things that you will do through your life as a Catholic born raised.
Right.
You know? Like you start going to Catholics, right? And then you will go First Confession, First Communion, Confirmation, and you know,
right.
Like... It's a big surprise.
Very, very good. And so tell me the name of your diocese there in Peru.
So we're from Chiclayo,
okay,
at the north of Peru. We're basically next to a beach. It's a great city, always warm, you know. Our winter, I mean, back in Peru, it's considered winter, but, you know, next to Houston's winter is like...
A little bit different.
A
little bit different. So you were confirmed about 10 years ago now, so 2015.
Yes.
And... like I said, at that point, you're confirmed, probably confirmed with a number of other people who your age group going through the process.
Yeah, so I went to a Catholic high school. So what they always do is like the whole class gets confirmed at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it was just like,
yeah,
you know.
The same normal thing.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. And so, like I said, at the time, Bishop Robert Prevost was there. I'm guessing he had probably been there. I want to say, wouldn't he get there probably around 2014? So not, yeah.
Yeah, so it was crazy, like the coincidence, because I think we were like in his first year confirmating in the diocese.
Yeah, in that diocese where he was. Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. So like I said, the normal process of things, relatively new bishop doing that, duty.
Yeah, and not gonna lie, a lot of people were a little like, oh my gosh, you know, because the bishop before him, he was there in that city for a long time, like super long time. Mm-hmm. So you have an idea that bishop previously, Jesus Moliné, that was before, who's now the actual pope.
Right.
He was there for like 25 years. So he knew my parents when they were like my age, you know?
Okay.
So a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get confirmed by the same bishop that confirmed my parents. Uh-huh. And then Robert was the new bishop 1 year before. So for me, at least, was like, oh my gosh, you know, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, you know, you didn't realize at the time how significant that was going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, very good. I should point out for people who are watching via video on YouTube, we put a picture of you in the center here in 2015, getting confirmed by now Pope Leo the 14th. I was going to say, but you're not the only one in your family and friends group who was also confirmed by him, right? You have brothers and sisters, anybody else?
Yeah,
that was also
so
confirmed?
Me, my two brothers and my sister, I have like three more cousins. One of them was even his altar server during certain masses.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
So, I mean,
so you all take the pictures, the normal confirmation, like I said, the normal thing.
Yeah, you know, when your mom takes the picture and just goes to the family album and you forget about it, you
right,
know?
Right, it's there.
Like, in the moment it happened in our family group chat, I was just like, me and my siblings were like, Mom, tell me, please, you didn't lose these pictures. Like, where are they? Where are they? You know? So
I imagine there was a lot of group chatter in May of, because he kind of, you know, Pope Leo kind of came out of almost nowhere, right?
Yeah.
We weren't thinking.
Yeah, the only moment that where I saw him was not in the top 10, but it was in the top 10 American bishops.
Okay, right.
Yes, that was the only moment where I saw him, and I think it was like position 6, 7 or something like that, you know? So, you know.
It was a shock to all of us, right?
Yeah.
So I imagine, like I said, when he walked out there, in front of everybody, did you recognize him right away? It's like, wait a second.
Oh, hold on. No, this is a fun anecdote because I was working. I work remote, right? Mm-hmm. And I was working, and then my girlfriend texted me like, hey, there's white smoke. And I was like, I don't believe you, you know? Because at that point, everybody will joke around like, hey, guys. And they're like, oh, it's not true, you know? Like, whatever.
Right. You don't know if it's really happening or not.
And she was like, I'm for real. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I open up in YouTube for something, you know, to see the live transmission.
Yeah.
And then my parents called me. You saw it's white smoke. So I started, you know, FaceTiming with them. Mm-hmm. And then we're waiting. They said they already had the Pope, right? So he's been in the how you call that room?
I guess the crying room or
the
something?
The crying room.
Yeah.
You know, which, fun fact, he has been the Pope that took the longest, you know, before coming out.
Yeah.
So
I can only imagine from his point of view, from Pope's point of view, being in that room, putting on the all the clothing and trying to like process what had just happened.
I imagine that, like, you know, when probably he didn't even vote for himself. I don't know.
Right. Like I said, he necessarily wasn't the first thing anybody people were going to pick. So so you're FaceTiming at this point.
Yeah, so I'm FaceTiming with my parents.
You're like, okay,
right?
We're going to see who the new Pope is.
Yeah, and well, I'm working, right? I love multitasking. So, and then the protodeacon comes out, right? Like the guy that announced it, like, Habemus Papam. And then he says, basically saying, like, formerly Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost. And I turn around to see the Facebook of my parents, like, did he actually say that? Like, that name sounds really familiar, you know?
It's
like,
almost surreal.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like, what are you talking about? Like, are you tricking me or something, you know? And then he walks out, and we're like, it's for real him, you know? Like they are.
It's your local bishop. It's
you know, they are not like, oh, psych.
Right.
You know, like, it's a joke. No, it's for real.
It's
like
for real.
He walked out and there was a lot of just, you know, when you have that like positive silence, like, what? We're like, what's going on, you know? And then I started receiving phone calls of my friends from St. Thomas saying like, dude, like, they want to interview you. Like, and we're like, why? Oh, because we said like that you are from the same city. And I was like, what do you mean? Yeah, like they are asking for you and whatever. And then everything just got crazy, you know? Like my Instagram, all the social media, you will see people posting these pictures and you will just like slide. It will be pictures of him, pictures of him, pictures of him everywhere, wow. everywhere. And it's insane now. Even restaurants are around the cathedral of my city, mm-hmm. where he will usually do mass. There's pictures of him, like, oh, you know, he got lunch in that exact table, you know,
like, so they're putting up photos. Like, yeah, this is, yeah. This is like, where the Pope ate.
Yeah, like this is the regular menu he will usually order, you know, like this is the Pope specials or something like that. Like,
right.
So even tourism is going like higher. Like people will get confused. Chicago. Chiclayo, you know, because like...
Oh, that's good. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and in Peru now, there's even a phrase that say like, from Chicago to Chiclayo, you know?
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, you know, I think people are still just processing it, you know, because mm-hmm. now we had even international media going to the city, and, I mean, the city, let's be honest, is I mean, love my city, you know, mm-hmm. but when you compare it to big cities that are super developed, it's like, you know, it's a little town. Uh-huh. Let's be honest.
This is compared to like Houston or
Dallas
or one of
those places. It's a small town. You will probably walk whole downtown in like 20 minutes, uh-huh. you know? So yeah. it's really small, but it's fantastic that basically he's, spiritually speaking, you know, coming from a small place, you know?
Right, yeah.
You know, where he actually... had the, you know, took the actions of share with the people. He will always walk around just like another regular person, always dressed as a priest, right?
Yeah.
But he will always be around, you know. For example, when we have, there's this phenomenon that usually happens in South America that is called El Niño. It's basically like super high, like rains, mm-hmm. raining, and got flooded and everything, and there's pictures of him going out to help, you know, getting a bucket and also, mm-hmm. you know, taking the water out.
Well, you raise a good point, Renato, because we live in this day and age where so many people took pictures and video on their smartphones. And like I said, we have a picture, for example, of you getting confirmed because it was just 10 years ago. And then you have friends, family members, people in your, like, people that you know who also have pictures of their confirmation as well. You'd mentioned he'd been out there caring for the poor, the people who had been, like I said, involved in floods and stuff like that. There's so much out there of him. It's incredible to think now that we have access to all of those things, whereas maybe many decades ago, we wouldn't have all of that stuff of what the Pope might have done yeah. previously when he was a bishop. So it's incredible to think about how much is out there and then how much more is going to be out there probably in the years ahead. You had mentioned the fact that on social media, everybody was posting stuff, probably photos, people that you know, they're probably, it's probably everything that was in the depths of their phone
yeah.
That was kind of coming out. So
I didn't even have the picture in my phone. Like I had,
so your mom had,
I was like, mom, where is it? Like all my siblings were like, mom, find it, please. You
go,
know?
Go find it. Yeah. That was her first task probably, is go and find all the photos. So credit her for finding them.
Yeah.
Cause you were showing me a thing in your phone. You have a bunch of them now. So luckily she and others have managed to find, their photos. So that's pretty credible. I know you're still letting that process. A lot of people are still letting that process, that whole thing happened, because, like I said, it was just May that Pope Leo was elected.
It's
so.
Like, imagine how impactful it could have been that he actually went, spoke in Italian, right?
Right.
And then, he's born and raised American, right?
Right.
But he lived more years in Peru.
Like, yes.
He was sent to Peru around the 80s. So he's been in Peru basically for like 30, 40 years, mm-hmm. you know, which is longer than what he lived here in America. Yeah. So then when he transitioned from Italian to Spanish, mm-hmm. it was impactful, you know? And he said, like, basically shout out to the Diocese of Chiclayo, mm-hmm. you know? Like,
yeah, it's your home.
You know, like,
hometown.
No, it's the fact that he also, like, mentioned it. He remembered it.
Right.
Like, it was his, let's say, a key point of his life, you know, of his trajectory.
Right. Absolutely.
So we're all grateful, and it's really good. I bet, like, even had impact in a lot of, in the faith of different Catholics in my city, where maybe they even came back to a faith or something, because, like, they can see it as a, you know, because usually we see the Pope as a, so far away in a different state of the world, you know, mm-hmm. and, but now I think for a lot of these people, especially for small town people like me and others, it's just like, you know, like he was your bishop.
Yeah, it's a tangible connection.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like it's attainable, you know? Like,
absolutely.
And I will even dare to say, kids who are growing up, seminaries who are growing up, like, see that, you know, at the end of the day, God works in magnificent ways. Mm-hmm. And you never know who you're actually talking with. And,
right.
You know, like.
Absolutely.
Like, next to you could be a saint, you know. And
amen.
You never know.
Amen. Good reminder, we're all on that path to sainthood. Renato, I want to get this before I run out of time here. You work at Catholic International University. You had got a Master of Business Administration from the University of St. Thomas. That's where you gave a shout out before. Tell me what Catholic International University is, just a brief overview.
Yeah, so what we're doing is basically bring education to all the world. Mm-hmm. We reach every corner of the world, wherever they are, wherever they want to study, under Catholic values, you know. So it's bringing the quality of the American education plus the virtue and values of a Catholic perspective. So mm-hmm. every career we have, every program we have both of them together. And as I say, we're it's super international, it's universal, just like how Catholics are. Sure. We have professors from South Korea all the way to Italy, you mm-hmm. know, a student from Sri Lanka to Chile, everywhere. So you really find how big our church is and how hungry it is of keep getting educated and growing.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I could understand, you know, one of the positives of you is that you speak both English and Spanish. So that yeah. helps a lot to be able to kind of communicate
yeah,
with the church is, or what the university is.
Yes. And it's awesome because being remote, it actually helps that way. And we are the only 100% remote school in the Newman Guide list.
Okay. Very good.
Yes.
So for people who want to learn more, learn about the degrees, programs, what's the website?
So just go to a website, Catholic International University, and just Google that, and you'll find it right away.
Yeah, very good. Again, Catholic International University, appropriate name, because like I said, you draw people from all over the world.
Yes.
Different languages. So again, we urge people to check that out. Maybe it's somebody that you know maybe want to get in on a program like that. Well, we appreciate your time. Again, Renato, we appreciate it. Again, Marketing Development Specialist, Catholic International University. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate your telling a little bit about your story.
Thank you for hiring me. It's really fun to share this, and I hope it helps yeah. other people to go back to church or anything. You know, it's a great experience to be here. Thank you.
Amen. Absolutely. We want to encourage people to get back to church, maybe if they haven't, or maybe encourage a friend or family member. Again, I want to thank everybody who helped to make this production possible today. My colleagues, Tim Mott, Zach Allen, David Magianis. Again, my name is Wyatt Goolsbee. Thank you again for your support of the Guadalupe Radio Network. Until next time, stay Catholic, Houston.
Faith, hope, charity. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network. Radio for your soul.